All right, joining us now is Gerald Celente, and you can find Gerald Celente's work at trendsjournal.com, an excellent journal that's online, and of course, it's an online magazine format. And if you want to subscribe to that, it's about it's hundreds of pages each week on a variety of topics. Gerald is always ahead of the curve when it comes to trends, and we're going to talk about a trend that he's been talking about for many years that is really coming to a head now. But if you want to subscribe to that, you can use the code NIGHT to save 10% on Trends Journal at trendsjournal.com. So joining us now is Gerald Celente. Thank you for coming on, Gerald.
Oh, thank you for having me. And by the way, when they're saving 10%, it's going to cost them the grand total of about $2.50 a week.
Wow.
To get to Trends Journal.
Wow. That is amazing. It's a tremendous amount of information. And of course, Gerald has always been ahead of the curve. And we were just talking, offline while the music was playing, we're getting it set up. And we're talking about the fact that you've been saying a commercial real estate bust is coming as soon as they did the lockdown. You called it, and you called the effect. And now we're starting to see it, aren't we?
Yeah, well, one of the top trends for 2024 is banks go bust.
Yeah.
And you've seen this bank corp going down, but it's one after another. You're looking at small and medium-sized banks. Their stocks are down 40 to 50% from their highs. Mm. And it's only going to get worse, and it's totally out of the media in the sense of what caused it and what's next. So when they lock down people, get back in your house. Oh, by the way, tracking trends is an understanding of where we are and how we got here to see where we're going. So let's go back to the beginning of the COVID war. It breaks out in China on Chinese Lunar New Year, January 2020, the year of the rat. Mm-hmm. People, again, I used to be on Hong Kong TV. There were protests going on in Hong Kong of over a million people out of 7.5 million in the city protesting. Mm-hmm. Week after week after week about Chinese taking over and destroying their culture and their freedom. And I'm taking, and I'm doing these shows like 20 minutes, and we take a break, and I say, Frank, so what's going on? Mr. Celente, we're not going to stop this. We're not going to let them take over. Mm-hmm. Guess what?
Yeah.
COVID war breaks out. Everybody get back in your house. You're not allowed to go out. Boop. There were protests going on all over the world about different things. One of our top trends for 2020 that we put them out early, like on January 3rd, mm-hmm. was New World Disorder. The French yellow vests, week after week after week, protesting.
Yeah.
Lack of basic living standards, government corruption, crime, violence. Algeria, India, Chile, Bolivia. All over the world, protests are going on. South Africa, COVID breaks out. Get back in your house. You're not allowed to go out.
Yeah, that's right.
Again, tracking trends. Remember, this has to do with the banking bust. You have to make the connections.
Mm-hmm.
The first piece of scum that locked down after China was this guy Conti, the clown playing the prime minister of Italy.
Mm.
The average age of the people dying in Italy were 81 years old with pre-existing comorbidities. The third arrogant little boy, my daddy worked for the Getty gang. He was a lawyer, and I'm a lousy little freak. Gavin Newsom locks down California. And the first people to tell you to can't go to work before the lockdown was that little freaky Dorsey guy from Twitter. Mm-hmm. He was going to Africa in February of 2020, South Africa, canceled the trip and told everybody you got to go home. So after Twitter does it, Facebook does it, Google does it, all the techs did it first.
Mm-hmm.
One after another. Okay.
And then Trump releases the money on Friday the 13th that you've talked about so many times.
Yeah, Black Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm being racist. How could I say that? Right, Black Friday.
Call it bribery Friday, because you know he's giving everybody money. Declaring the emergency is like, you know, declaring an emergency, releasing the money for a major storm coming through.
Yep.
And he, and then there was that weekend. You had Gavin Newsom, and I think didn't Cuomo do it that weekend as well?
Or? Cuomo right after him. Cuomo followed.
Yeah.
Another arrogant little boy.
Yeah.
Arrogant little boys. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, and you know, people hate me because I don't like Trump. I believed in Trump when he ran.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw the reverses he did.
Yeah.
You know, and again, he gave us the emergency lockdown on Friday, March 13th, 2020. He gave us the Operation Warp Speed jab.
Yeah.
He gave us Fauci.
President Fauci.
Yeah. And then he went on, he brought in pieces of low-life scum of the lowest order. How about that guy Bolton, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. A little freaky warmongering guy. How about Mad Dog Mattis for the Secretary of Defense? Oh, Mad Dog Mattis? A murdering SOB?
Yeah.
Mad Dog? I'll kill anybody anywhere? Yeah. Oh, and Trump... that tried to overthrow the Venezuelan government under Bolton.
Yeah.
And brought in that guy Guaido and declared he's the real president. Oh, that Trump? Oh, the Trump that killed Soleimani, the Iranian?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the Trump that got $100 million from Sheldon Adelson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then...
and they got a big pharmaceutical.
Closed down the United States Embassy in Tel Aviv and moved it to Jerusalem.
Yeah. Got a big pharmaceutical donation, puts Alex Azar head of HHS. And, of course, he did his executive order, or not executive order, he did his declaration of an emergency back at the end of January. You know, the former CEO of Eli Lilly brought in the former CEO of Goldman Sachs. They paid him $250 million or something like that in an early golden parachute so that he could leave Goldman Sachs and go in to the Trump administration. You know, from the very get-go, even looking at the creeps that he was surrounding himself with, and we all know that personnel or policy in an administration, and it was like, oh, no, this is going to be bad, and it was. It was.
So anyway, going back to putting it all together, right?
Yeah.
So now, remember, they're telling people to work from home. So now, people are working from home. Day after day, week after week, month after month. And now they're getting up, rather than 5 a.m, they're getting up maybe 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying to themselves, holy Christ, I've been going to commuting an hour and a half each way.
Yeah.
My life sitting behind a wheel of a car or in a train or whatever, a bus, I'm out of my mind. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I'm the guy that's the boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I got 10 stories in an office building. And I got everybody sitting in cubicles. I don't see them. Yeah, stay home a couple of days a week. I don't need all this space. I'm going to save myself a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Your office occupancy rate, according to Castle with a K, Castle Systems, 4 years later, is at 53%. Your office vacancy rate, nobody there, empty, totally empty buildings, 20%.
Wow.
Okay. I'm the guy that owns the building. So how am I going to pay my loan? Oh, and it's a revolving loan. Oh, and these loans are based on interest payments. Oh, and the interest rates are way high.
Yeah.
Banks are going to go bust. The worst we've seen, way worse than the crash of what happened in the panic of 08 with the Lehman Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Way, way worse than the crash of 1929.
Wow.
We are on the verge of economic annihilation. Because you have to put in now the banks, it's the small and medium sized banks that have most of these. And by the way, if people want to get real good information that I go to, it's called Wall Street on Parade. Russ and Pam Martins. They have great data on the banking system, better than most anybody I've seen. And this last article, they listed a whole bunch of banks and how bad shape they are and how bad their stocks are doing. But yet the equity market, the stock markets are going up.
Yeah, that's right. Let me ask you this about, you know, because it is everybody that's talked about it, and there's not that many people that have talked about it, but there are now some media, mainstream media, that occasionally do an article about commercial real estate and the danger there. They talk about small and medium-sized banks. I'm of the impression that, you know, after the 2007-2008 crash with residential real estate, you've got Elizabeth Warren comes in and she creates the Consumer Financial Protection Board, or if I got the order of that right. And the idea is that we're going to keep this from happening again. And so we're going to tighten the rules for loans, and they're going to have to go through a lot of paperwork. We're going to make it very difficult for them to do loans. And a lot of these small and medium-sized banks said, well, we can't keep up with that paperwork. So that kind of migrated over to the very large banks. There wasn't this kind of stringent paperwork requirements for the commercial real estate. Is that how these banks got trapped into that? Is that because of this kind of extra regulations put on there by Liz Warren? Or?
Not really. I just don't see
always
it like
doing that.
You go to who you get it easier from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Basically, that's it. So here's this from Wall Street Nonparade. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The S&P closed at a record 5,000 yesterday, while the banks, focusing public's attention on blah, blah, blah. Okay. U.S. Bank Corp, parent of U.S. Bank, the fifth largest bank in the U.S., has lost 30% of its market value in the past 2 years. Hmm. Key Bank, 22nd largest, lost 50% of its value. Comerica, 32nd largest bank, with 415 branches, lost 50%. It keeps going on. Small regional banks have experienced even more dramatic share price pain. First Foundation Inc. lost 70%.
Wow.
Of its market share. So market value. Mm-hmm. So it's one after another. So then you get a story from the Cartoon News Network, CNN. Wall Street is worried about another regional banking crisis. Worried? A little article of nothing here. What's happening? After decades of growth bolstered by low interest rates and easy credit, commercial real estate has hit a wall. Isn't that nice little stupid language? I mean, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Nothing to do
with
the lock-in.
How about talking about the crisis that has been created?
Yeah.
That, again, now you got a New York City. Foot traffic is down 33%.
Hmm.
Hardly anybody's going to work. Again, you look at Castle System on Fridays. Friday used to be party time, happy hours here. Mm-hmm. No yeah. more. Now, all the businesses that depended on commuters going out of business. I'm hearing from people owning restaurants in New York City how bad businesses become. There was that fake boom last year after things started loosening up with the COVID war. Mm-hmm. It's over now. Again, you look at the data. Generation Z, it's all your trends journal. They're going to bed early. They're not going out and play. We're going to rock and roll all night, no more. Dead. Streets are dead. People, the damage it's done. A Gallup poll just came out yesterday. You ready?
Yeah.
Less than half of Americans are very satisfied with their own lives. This is the 46% reading came with the country was, this is the last time a 46% reading, this is 47%, came in 2007 and 2009 when the country was deep in recession.
Yeah.
So when they're saying everything is going so great, no, it's not. The average person is suffering. Again, the data, mm-hmm. 1% out of 8 billion people own 43% of all the global financial assets. 1%. In the USSA, 1% own 54% of the stocks, the equity markets. And when you put the 10% in, it's 90%.
Wow.
So us plantation workers of Slavelandia own none of this. So what they're going to keep doing, because the big zone, everything, they're going to keep trying to artificially prop up the equity markets. But when the banks start crashing, nothing they could do to stop it. And again, you get the magazine each week. Again, it's not what we like, what we want, what we wish for, but what we see. We've been writing week after week that Bitcoin's going to remain strong. Even when it went down, we gave the breakdown points to the top when it was going to break out again, hit it right on the numbers. And now you're looking at it almost going back to $50,000 a coin. The people in the, in what's happening is that people in like in Argentina, all these countries that are suffering terribly, they're watching their, the value of their currency being destroyed. So they're buying this stuff because they're trying to protect what they have.
Yeah.
You're looking at the data. In China, last year was almost a record. It was a record year of people buying gold because they know how bad the economy is going over there.
Oh, yeah.
So now going back to the commercial real estate bust, this is going to be the worst that's imaginable. And again, it's all caused by the COVID war. The damage it, that has done is incalculable physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. Little kids are all screwed up, freaked out of their minds, dumbed down to nothing.
Yes. Oh, I agree. And that's why, you know, that CNN article that you talked about, you notice the way that they couch that. It's like, yeah, these banks are having a hard time, but you know, they had it on easy street. They had all this time of low interest rates and everything, and now they're going to have a little bit of suffering, but you know, hey, that's they deserve that. No, it was something that was done by both you know, the Trump administration, then by the Biden administration. I mean, they've all got a hand in it. These two guys, we don't even have a real election anymore. This is a North Korea election. You've got one candidate on the ballot in each of these parties, and they're getting 80, 90, 96% of the vote because they're the only candidate that's there. And they don't even talk about how low the turnout is because nobody cares. It is a North Korea election. No debates, no primaries. We've just got media polls telling us who the winner is.
You're being disrespectful to North Korea.
It's like Reagan. Yeah, they're spending money like a drunken sailor. And that's an insult to drunken sailors. Yeah, that's.
I mean, it's a freak show. Oh, yes. America.
Yeah.
Look at the clowns. Look at the money that they get from all the people that tell them what to do. You don't have any money, you can't run.
That's right. That's right. And look at how much they're spending on the campaigns. I mention it frequently. You know, you go back and you look at the 2000 campaign. They'll go back and talk about the hanging chads and the Supreme Court with Al Gore versus George W. Bush, right? But the reality is that at that election, there was $100 million that was spent by Bush, and Gore accused him of trying to buy the election because he only had 70 million. You got everybody who's running for, people are running for, in some places for Congress are spending more than that. You got more than that being spent by people who only made a half of an effort to compete in the primaries on the Republican side. And so you're getting a situation where you got billions of dollars. Why is there that much money being spent on the presidency? Because as H.L. Mencken said, it's an advanced auction on stolen goods. Everybody knows that they can get whatever they want in Washington if they've backed the winner somehow.
Who's that little clown boy in Texas that ran for governor?
Beto. Yeah, I call him Beto Male. That's what he was. He's a real
arrogant jerk of nothing.
Yeah.
How about the other clown lady over there in Georgia that ran Abrams?
Oh, yeah, Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. Clown show in front of everybody's eyes. Pick your clown. All right? You mentioned $100 million? Both of them lost the race. $100 million each one of them spent to run for governor.
Yeah.
Where did you get the money from?
Yeah.
Stacy, Beto boy, you're not worth $100 million. It wasn't your dough. People call it campaign contributions. Morons and imbeciles call it campaign contributions.
Yes.
Adults call it bribes and payoffs.
That's right.
The government is totally owned by the corporations and the people that give them money. Yes. End of story. Look what's going on with the massacre in front of everybody's eyes. Genocide, pure as can be, against the Palestinians. Oh, don't! Why? How dare you? How dare you say that? Why, you anti-Semite? Why, you Jew hater? Hey, I'm Ackman. I'm a billionaire. Get rid of that lady over there in Harvard. Get rid of the one over there in Penn State. How dare they say that they're slaughtering people? Look how they own it. Oh, here's the data. Go to Mint Press. Look at all the money that the American politicians have gotten from Israeli donors, Jewish organizations. All the numbers are there. Oh, Trump only got, you talk about $100 million? That guy, Sheldon Adelson, gave him $100 million when he was running for president. And again, this is the Trump that moved the embassy from Tel Aviv.
And think
to
about
Jerusalem.
That.
One, thank you, Sheldon Adelson.
One billionaire whose interest is in a foreign country more than it is in America. One billionaire gives him $100 million when, you know, 20 years earlier, you had the entire campaign expense for George W. Bush was $100 million. And that was accused of being excessive at the time. Yeah, that's how out of whack this whole thing has gotten. Yep. And it's really, that's why you have this acceleration of the concentration of money in Washington and everything else, is because it's just open corruption in front of everybody's eyes. We all see it. And of course, Trump said Israel owned Congress, and rightfully so, right? Had they owned the same way they owned him. I mean, they paid for him. He's bought and paid for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at his son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
When Netanyahu used to come there, he used to stay at Kushner's parents' house.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one thing after another about how Trump, you know, loves all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, you know, going back to the to what's going on, you got to make the connections, because I'm talking about the dangers of the economy, and now with the United States ramping up the war against Iran.
Yes.
If there's a military conflict between Iran, the United States, and Israel, you're going to see Brent crude hit $130 plus a barrel, and that's going to crash the global economy and the equity markets.
Yes, yes.
And we're on the brink of that.
But before we
Netanyahu's not going to stop.
Yeah, before we go into the oil thing, and of course you're right, we and all of us who lived through Arab oil embargo of the late 1970s knows that you send a shock like that through the system and it just wrecks everything. And we'll come back to that. But before we leave the other stuff, the banks failing, what is that going to mean to the average American? I mean, you're going to go down and maybe, you know, for a couple of days, maybe a few more days, your money's going to be locked and you can't get to it but you should be made eventually whole, at least at the beginning of all this stuff, by the FDIC. What are the other kind of economic consequences that are going to happen, especially if we've got a lot of banks that start to fail? What is that going to look like to the average Joe?
How about Taylor Swift? Why are we talking about this for?
Yeah.
That's
Super
what
Bowl
the average,
and Taylor Swift. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's where the average Joe and Jane.
Yeah.
So going back to the banking crisis.
They're not even going to look at it.
I mean, every damn day, you know, how many times did she have sex last week? I mean, you know, she's taking it. But anyway, the banking crisis,
I was going to say, you know, what is it going to, even if they, you know,
here's what's going to happen.
If they set down their Bud Light and stop watching the Super Bowl for a second, what's it going to do to them financially? What's it going to, you know, we know what's going to happen with the oil because we've lived through it.
The kind of thing that's going to happen is that the Russians hacked the banking system.
Yeah.
You can't get your money out anymore. They'll blame it on something else.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll hold it back they'll do it.
And just switch us over.
If you have more than $250,000 in there, it's gone, and you might not be able to get it out. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be the beginning of The CBDCs,
yeah.
Central Bank Digital Cash.
Right. That's what I wanted to get to. Yeah, that's what they'll use. The banking crisis will be used to usher that in, because that was already a part. It was 2 years ago and a couple of months. It was in March of 2022 that Biden said to all of the deep state under him, all the bureaucracy, I want to report about CBDC. We'll take a look at how we're going to completely restructure the financial system, how we're going to enforce it, how we're going to tell people that it's all about climate change and stuff like that. But that's what they're looking at, is to completely reset the financial system. And that would be a trigger that they could use, wouldn't it?
Yep. And again, go back to your Trends Journal 4 years ago. From dirty cash to digital trash.
Yes, yes.
We forecast this is going to come, and it's going to take an event like we're talking about now to make it happen.
Yes.
And again, they'll blame. Look at that guy, that FBI guy that came out last week. This whole article in the Trends Journal warning us about China and all the cyber attacks they're going to start doing.
Yeah.
And how we have to worry about it. All right.
Yeah.
They're setting it up already.
That's right. That's right. And they don't want to talk about, even though this last week, I talked about this, Gerald, briefly. I said, you know, Vault 7, which was leaked by a guy that was internal to, I think it was the NSA, maybe CIA, I don't know. But anyway, they gave him 40 years in prison. But they don't talk about what it was that he leaked. What it was that he leaked was a program that they had that they could hack into anything they wanted and make it look like they were anybody that they wanted to look like. They could look like the Russians. They could look like the Chinese. They could look like the North Koreans, anybody that they wanted to look like. And that's what's going to be the basis of this cyber attack. They don't want to talk about Vault 7, and the media, throws that under the rug, but I think that's going to be the way they're going to run it out.
There's no media.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you talking, media? A bunch of little prostitutes.
Yeah.
They call them prostitutes, media whores that get paid to put out by their corporate pimps and government whoremasters.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and so, you know, when we look at it and you look at the combined effects of, you know, banking failure, stock market issues, an oil shock and all the rest of this stuff, that is another, just in and of itself, that kind of financial pressure is the kind of thing that's necessary for them to push people into CBDC. Nobody wants this, but if you're hurting for money, they've done this in some of the poor countries like India. They say, well, if you take the number, we will give you welfare, we'll give you health care and all the rest of this stuff. So you're going to need to do it. If you're pressured into it because you need to do it to survive, it's going to be that bribery angle. That'll be the first way they come after us. It's the same way they did it with the vaccine. They're going to put you in a difficult situation and then offer you a carrot at first. And they'll get a lot of people who will accept it that way. Then they'll come after the remainder of us with sticks, as they did with the vaccine mandates and things like that.
No jab, no job.
That's right. Yeah. No number, yep. No job. You won't buy or sell or travel the rest of the stuff, you know, yep. Mark of the beast stuff.
Yeah. And don't forget to wear this mask. Which on the box says, these masks do not eliminate exposure to the risk of any disease or infection.
Yeah.
But make sure you wear it. And if you don't wear it, when you get on that airplane, you better wear this mask. We'll throw the hell off.
Yeah.
But when you're eating and drinking and you're sitting around everybody in a tiny airplane, you can take your mask off. Because COVID knows when you're eating and drinking and it doesn't bother you. But as soon as you take that last bite and that last sip, you better put that damn mask on. And if you don't, we'll get you arrested when you get off the plane.
That's right. Yeah.
And stand 6 feet apart when you're outside, inside, because the wind blows exactly in straight lines in 6 feet. Doesn't go up, doesn't go down, doesn't go around.
I think it's so that they could get better shots of their slaves, because they can't recognize their face with the mask on. So, you know, let's zoom in on some other biometrics. Yeah, I've had that conversation with many people at restaurants. So you're telling me that while I'm standing up, I got to wear a mask, but as soon as I sit down, I can take it off. Yeah, that's what we're telling you. Okay, well, you never see me again as a customer. You know, I've had those discussions over and over again, more times than I care to remember.
Well, I'll tell you what happened to me. You know, right next door to me, there's that beautiful hotel and a restaurant. And I go in there one night, and from the door to the bar is probably about 10 feet. And I just get to the bar, and the manager walks by. And he said, you didn't put your mask on when you came in. I said, I didn't know that because I was just here yesterday and I didn't have to wear one. Didn't you see the sign on the door? No, I didn't see it. I said, next time I come in, I'll put the mask on. He said, no, you got to put it on now. I said, wait a minute. I said, I'm staying at the bar.
Do I <I'm> need? Immune.
I said, do I need the mask when I'm at the bar? He said, no. He said, well, you got to go outside and put the mask on. Then you can come back in. I said, wait a minute. I said, you're telling me that at the bar where I am now, I don't have to wear a mask, but I have to go back outside, put on a mask, and then I could come in? He said, yeah, that's right. I said, F you. Who the hell, at the top of my lungs, who the hell do you think you're talking to? Who are you, little slimy jerk? I had enough of your crap. I'm going berserk on this guy. I said, you want to talk to me like that? Come on outside. Come on outside and talk to me like that.
And put your mask on because your nose is going to be bleeding.
Little boy, this guy's like in his 30s. I'm 77. Calling this guy out. He folded like that. Yeah. By the way, the owners of the hotel sent me a $100 gift certificate.
Well, I didn't get that.
But I mean, I don't take crap, you know, and that's what people don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm born in 1946 at the height of America's spirit, right after World War II. America's at the top. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Napolitano born in the Bronx. If you haven't lived in the Bronx, don't tell me your attitude. I'm not a farmer. I don't milk cows, pick cotton. No, it's a different vibe.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me. I won't mess with you. Don't mess with me. That is the attitude of how I grew up. No more. You do what I tell you. I'm your little lowlife mayor, senator, congressman, kindergarten teacher, principal. You do what I tell you to do. And that's America. Oh, you ready? Look at the arrogant murderer who's our Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. Killed people in Iraq, slaughtered them over in Afghanistan. Oh, what was his last job after that? Oh, where all the military guys go? He was board of directors of Raytheon, the second largest defense contractor.
Yeah.
So he comes out about a month ago and demeans people like me that launched Occupy Peace, and you've been here at my rallies and mm-hmm. spoke at them, mm-hmm. as being isolationists.
Yeah.
And having no understanding of why and how we should get involved. And you know why he talks to me like that? And everybody, he's a general, and you're just a private. So make sure you salute him. That's their attitude.
Yeah.
This slime ball, and I'll call him to his face. How dare he talk to me like that?
Yeah.
I'm not an isolationist, slobby boy. I am an American patriot. I, unlike you, respect our founding fathers like George Washington. A real guy that fought, unlike you. Remember, cross the Delaware? Mm-hmm. It's farewell address. Do not become involved in any foreign entanglements. Have no love, no hate for a country. Because if you have either, you become a slave to them.
That's right.
And that's all we are. Plantation workers of Slavelandia.
Yeah.
That's why they... Look at this little clown boy Blinken. My daddy was... An ambassador to Hungary. My uncle was an ambassador to Belgium. I've been sucking off the public tit since 1994. I went to Dalton. I went to Harvard. You're a nobody. Every damn picture you see, this guy, big jet that we put him over there on. He can't fly like everybody else. And he's waving. Goes up the stairs, turns around. Wait, who are you waving to? Who are you waving to? This is propaganda to make them think... The people think that they're better than you.
Yeah.
That's why they do this. Every time a clown, president, chancellor, prime minister walks around, you got these little boys dressed up in their military drag saluting, and they're walking on a red carpet. They're better than us.
Yeah.
Do what you're told. What's the cover of the magazine? this week.
Yeah, pull it up,
Trey. How stupid could you be?
Yeah, pull it up.
Swallow the crap coming out of narcissistic mouths and jerks of the politicians. How stupid can you be? How dumb could you be to swallow that crap? What the hell is the matter? Oh, you look up to little Mikey Johnson?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dead in your face, Mitch McConnell. Hey, let me play Chuck E. Schumer.
Let me put my glasses on like this and I can talk to you.
Look at the little jerks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They don't have our interest at heart at all, of course. It's all about them and it's all about their little agenda, and they don't really care what they do to people. We were talking about the commercial real estate crash here, and of course it's unrolling in China. They'll talk a little bit more about it in China because I guess it's a little bit safer for them. Evergrande is now going to be liquidated. They've got $300 million in debt. Their assets are supposedly about $245 billion. I should have said million, I think billion. And so they're going to liquidate that, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. What is going to be the effect of China's, their stock market? Talk about what's going on with their stock market, and where does this end up, and how does it affect us?
Well, the stock market's down about over 40% from its highs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
And here's, again, tracking trends is an understanding of where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. By the way, each week we have a spotlight on China, loads of articles. What the things we're talking about. So, go back to 1970, again, how we got here, and to 2001. You look at China's GDP, it's a slight moving up. Slime ball Bill Clinton brought him into the World Trade Organization in 2000. They officially came in 2 weeks after 9/11. And they're economy skyrockets as manufacturers send all our manufacturing over there from Europe and the United States to China to get their stuff made cheap so they can make more money. With every boom, there's a bust. China overbuilt. The bust was going to happen. One of our trend forecasts, and again, we always say, I know people, I say, don't call me a futurist. Nobody can predict the future. There are too many wild cards.
Mm-hmm.
One of my forecasts was that the 20th century was the American century, but the 21st century would be the Chinese century, because the business of America has been war and the business of China is business. Then, what we were talking about before, on January 2020, Chinese Lunar New Year, the year of the rat, they launched the COVID war and 3 years of zero COVID policy.
Mm-hmm.
They destroyed the lives and livelihoods of hundreds of millions of Chinese.
Yes.
The market was overbuilt already. They made a very, very, very bad situation terribly worse by the lockdowns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
China's economy is going to go down. We put the numbers in each week. The imports are down. The exports are down. And now you have less in, because of the Americans, what they're doing, and Europeans moving to cheaper places, by the way, to get their stuff manufactured. Matter of fact, Mexico is making more, getting a lot more business now because they got cheaper labor than China.
Yeah, we had more imports from Mexico than China this most recently, didn't we? Just slightly more?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really surprising.
Again,
and that's not including all the people coming in.
We're importing a lot of people.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Brought to you by that slime ball Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah.
With NAFTA.
That's right. Yeah.
And he gave us the World Trade Organization. Here's a perfect example. This little boy of nothing, Bill Clinton, a little arrogant little jerk off there in Arkansas, worth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And now how much is he worth?
How much?
A couple of hundred million. Look at the money that his things get. Obama, same thing.
Yeah.
Little boys of nothing worth hundreds of million. How do you think they got the money?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
By doing all these deals. Bill Clinton used to get paid $300,000 an hour to give a talk. I used to give talks all over the world. At my top, I was getting $35,000.
Yeah.
And I'm giving real information. You could hear Clinton BS all day long. Mm-hmm. It's payback.
That's right.
$300,000. Same with Hillary Clinton making all this kind of money. So it's the payoffs that they've done that destroyed the country. I'm up here in New York, all of up here, Utica, all these places. They're making Rochester, all gone.
Yeah.
All gone. Now there's slum towns. Well, look at the Midwest. Look at all the slum towns where they used to have manufacturing. All gone. And don't forget to vote. Don't forget to vote for your favorite crook that robs and steals from you and takes your money to go kill innocent people.
That's right.
Don't forget to vote.
And of course, it's also, you know, in terms of manufacturing base, they're making sure that it doesn't come back because they're eviscerating our energy production. Even as Biden is doing more coal, what's he doing? He's sending it to India. Why? Well, because the Paris Treaty says that India can build as many and as dirty of power plants as they want, just like China, but we can't. So, you know, we're going to send the coal to India. We're not going to have energy here. And when you talk about the way China destroyed its own economy, you know, the sanctions are an act of war. And we talked about that when Trump was locking everything down. You and I were talking about that. These are, you know, those lockdowns were, whatever country you're talking about, and they all did it, it was an act of war against their own people. It was economic sanctions against their own people. And now we're reaping the quote-unquote benefit of that. Let me ask you this. This last week or so, Trump has talked about, well, I'm going to get China if you elect me president. Well, we don't know what he's going to do because he says one thing and he does something else. But he's floating out there 60% tariffs on China. Now, the very fact that he could do that and not have everybody freak out tells us that there's a big constituency there for massive tariffs. And, of course, a 60% tariff would just, you know, be like the way the Federal Reserve has rapidly raised interest rates. It just creates shocks through the system that people can't adjust to quickly enough and just very chaotic and destructive to do that. But what do you think is going to happen? Are we going to move to a more mercantilistic system?
No.
No?
I don't know. But this what's important is that I agree that we should have very high tariffs. Mm-hmm. I say put all the tariffs back in place that used to exist in the 1950s.
Well, when America was that. I agree with that. I think, you know, when you look at, of course, with Jefferson, we had a government that was very, very small, and they could run that whole thing off of tariffs. There was no internal taxations whatsoever. And so I agree, you know, having a free trade system here instead of internal taxes, the globalists were the ones who wanted to have free trade and have all internal taxes because they realized they could make more money out of it. It's just that when you talk about a rapid change like that, it's just like, you know, we talk about how the interest rates have been kept so low for so long, they've created this bubble and the interest rates needed to be brought up. But, you know, by bringing them up as rapidly as they did after leaving them down so low, that creates economic, you know, chaos that traps a lot of people. And same thing's going to happen if all of a sudden they jump to 60% tariffs or something like that.
Here's the thing. Again, another expression in trends forecasting is that all things are connected. Let's go back to February of 2022 when the Ukraine war broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States put sanctions on Russia. Putin's going to pay for this, Biden said. And all of the companies in Europe and America that pulled out of Russia. Remember, they're closing down Starbucks, everybody pulling out.
Yeah.
Fashion companies stopping their manufacturing, pulling out. We said this is going to benefit Russia.
Yes.
We came out with our trend, self-sustaining economies. Russia has the human resources and the natural resources to be self-sustaining.
Yes.
Now the data came out. Russia's economy went up, 3.something% last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the IMF is saying it's going to go up even higher this year.
Yeah.
It's being a self-sustaining economy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I'm in Kingston, New York. Gantt's shirts used to be made of it. Who ever heard of them anymore? Mm-hmm. One after another. There were factories all over the place, shirt factories, all over the place.
That's right.
The only way America could come back is to become a self-sustaining economy. We have all the natural and human resources that we need.
But of course, what they're doing is they're blocking it with the energy stuff, this so-called climate crisis, right? Not, that's what they're doing.
That's not a tiny part of it.
Yeah.
It's all the manufacturing that's left. Of our GDP, 70% is on consumer spending, nearly 70%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Manufacturing accounts for the grand total of 11%.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Manufacturers pay, you got to pay people to work. In a service sector, you pay them nothing.
Right.
Every time I, again, the bigs have taken over everything. As I said, I'm born, 77 years ago. There were grocery stores, hardware stores, stationery stores, drug stores. Now there are drug chains, grocery chains, hardware chains. Mm-hmm. They're all chains.
That's right.
The people make nothing.
That's right.
So it's bigger than that. It's the bigs are controlling everything.
And that's a big part of what the sanctions were, because you were told, as I said over and over again, it was directed towards Main Street for the benefit of Wall Street. You're not essential. You shut down. And so what was left was service businesses. And those are the ones that they went hardest after. Restaurants and every other form of service business, you got to shut down because you're meeting people in face. But we'll let Walmart stay open because they're essential. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Seen that.
So that to me is the only. But then again, even if that happened, when I look at the shape of America, it breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Look it's Slobville.
Mm-hmm.
And I just came back. I went to when I couldn't do here a couple of weeks ago, I went to Florida when I couldn't do it on a Friday for a memorial service for a dear friend of mine that passed on. And I flew down there, came back. And you ever hear the expression, pigs can't fly?
Mm-hmm.
They're flying. Been to the airport lately?
I just saw that some Scandinavian airport is going to start weighing the passengers, not just the luggage.
I mean, you go to the airport, it's the way that people look, the way they dress, where they are. I mean, it's so sad. I started flying first class. And I worked with, I was the number two guy at 30 years old of a major trade association. And I started flying first class in 1974. Everybody was dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
They'd roll down a roast. Would you like lobster thermidor or the roast that they're carving?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now they give you a glass of wine in first class and a plastic cup and some crappy food. And you know who you could thank for this? The screwing up the airlines? Another arrogant little boy, Jimmy Carter. He deregulated the airline industry. I remember the guy, another arrogant piece of scum, Alfred Kahn. I'll never forget. Because, again, I'm flying. Mm-hmm. I'm traveling all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing it go. There used to be Braniff. There used to be Eastern. There used to be TWA. There used to be Pan American. There used to be Mohawk. There used to be. When the government controlled it, they control the prices. They used to compete on service.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All gone. Now you got, two, three, four companies own everything.
That's right.
And again, they buy off the politicians. So again, going back to self-sustaining economy, do the Americans have the spirit to do it? And I don't think they do it this time. All the vibe is gone. All the vibe is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's dead. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Don't you talk about happiness. I'm the governor. I'm the mayor. I'll tell you what to do. Get back in your house. Get no happiness allowed. Not a word that's ever spread anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talks about a good time.
That's right.
Heart.
And keep people isolated. Keep people isolated from each other. It's truly amazing when we look at it. And it's with this... they're going to roll it out into this climate stuff. We're already talking about climate lockdowns and, controlling our food, controlling our energy and all the rest of this stuff. But it really was the pandemic and the fear associated with that, that narrative to get everybody afraid. And now that you're afraid, we're going to really stick it to you. And yep. that was, and just like people got accustomed to working from home, they got accustomed to taking orders. And it's really hard to get people to grow a spine back. You know, they just, it's That's just amazing. Yeah.
You're right. That's why I said, I don't know if America could do it. They lost their spine.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not fighters. Again, look how many people they hate. You know how much hated I am up here when I had the rally when everything was locked down. Mm-hmm. And I had, well over 1,000 people here. And we all died, by the way, the COVID, during COVID.
I know.
Everybody died.
I remember when they had, at the very beginning of all this nonsense, and they said, look, there was somebody who's got sniffles, and we tested them. They got a PCR test, and they got COVID. And they were at CPAC. Remember that? And the left got so excited. Oh, good. All the conservatives are going to die because they, didn't pay any attention to this. And you had Rand Paul and all these people self-isolating and all the rest of the stuff. Nobody died. Nobody at all died. It truly, and nobody, none of these old senators died. None of the gerontocracy died in Washington. They all kept popping along. I got a note here for you. This is from Fawn on Rockfin Gerald. Thank you for the tip. She says, well, to know me and how I love Gerald. Glad to see him on the show. So that's from Fawn. Timed Non-Tides says, you heard the day the music died? Well, Trump's COVID agenda was the day that freedom died. Yeah, I guess we should go back and rewrite the lyrics to Bye Bye Miss American Pie.
Well, you were talking before about Fauci. He also, he's talking about fear. He also gave us the AIDS scare.
Yeah. That's right.
The people who were dying of AIDS were mostly gay people and people that were drugged up. And again, I'm a New York City guy. You have no idea what was going on in a city back in the 70s. Guys doing poppers like crazy. Sperm can't go into the bloodstream. Mm-hmm. That's what was causing the AIDS among the gay population. That is from the Wall Street Journal. So don't hate me for saying this. Oh, by the way, the word gay used to mean happy at one time, And again, be who you want to be. I could care less.
Yeah, there's gay now about America. There's nothing happy about America. We're just the other kind of gay.
But. So anyway, that Fauci gave us that. And that led into the sexual revolution, which, everybody has their own way of doing things. But, it was okay with me, but that ended it.
Well, he also tried to sell remdesivir for AIDS. And everybody said, no, it just kills a kidney. It doesn't help anybody. So then he tried it with Ebola, and then he pronounced it the standard of care because he had so much power under Trump.
Look at the data. Straight people were not dying of AIDS. The facts are there. Just like the COVID war. Mm-hmm. We're talking about what happened to the young people. This is the data.
Yeah.
There were 73 million 1 to 17-year-olds. All forced to stay home, get out of school, blah, 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 blah. According to the CDC, they stopped doing the numbers in in June of 2023. From January 2020 to June of 2023, 1,952 1 to 17-year-olds dies of AIDS. Out of 73 million over 3 years. Mm-hmm. And according to the CDC, 60% of those hospitalized for COVID were obese.
Well, what he did with the real common thread there between AIDS and this COVID thing was the PCR test. And the guy who got the Nobel Prize for it, Kary Mullis, kept attacking him and said, you can't prove that this is a virus using my PCR test. I want to debate you. And he says he won't debate me anywhere. We've had different universities and scientists say they'll host the debate. He won't do it. He said he'll look you in the eye on TV and lie straight to your face. And he died just a couple of months before they started this BS about that, because that was the core of both the AIDS thing that he did, as well as that this COVID thing was a PCR test. That was
But the one thing he did teach that I really agree with: when you masturbate, don't forget to sanitize your hands. Everybody, everywhere you go, people are rubbing this crap into their without thinking about the after effects of all this chemicals going into your hands.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the alcohol. We had some people catch their hands on fire with that some places too as well.
Oh, more than just the alcohol, all the other fake chemicals in here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Got to soak it into your body.
Yeah. It's crazy. We got another comment here for you. Trump Burger Forever says, I read that once the airlines realized they could save $300,000 a year by removing one strawberry from the salads, it snowballed from there. Just a little bit right there. And just multiply the effect out there. Well, that's what we are. Now we've got, earlier in the program, Gerald, I pointed out Matt Walsh got this thing from a year ago. Where they were talking, the FAA said, you know, the problem is we've got just too many white pilots. We got to start hiring people of color, you know, and whether they let's take the baggage handlers and let's make them pilots if that's necessary, because, you know, skin color is a thing that matters. That's going to keep the planes in the air. I'm on no fly list as far as I'm not flying on any of this stuff.
I hate to fly anymore.
Oh, yeah, it's awful. Well, it's always great talking to you, Gerald. Thank you so much. And folks, go to trendsjournal.com. An excellent publication is really going to tell you way in advance what is happening and why it's going to be happening. A massive publication each week, and you can save 10% off if you use the code NIGHT. Thank you so much for joining today, Gerald. Great talking to you.
And thanks for having me on, and thank you so much for all that you do and you and your team.
Thank you very much. All right. Have a good day, folks.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask, take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.